treasures in heaven. Do not store up yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, it's good to be able to share again from the word of God. And I have to say, when I came a few weeks ago and I shared, it was a difficult subject to say the least. And that was about turning the other cheek and going the extra mile. Today is also fairly difficult as well, because it's talking about treasures in heaven. I suppose Roger gave this to me, being the treasurer, so I could talk about treasures. I'm not sure about that. But what I want to share a little bit this morning is actually quite challenging to me, because I'm going to talk about loyalty. Where does my loyalty lie? Does my loyalty lie wholly with God, or is it partly with God and partly with other things? And I was challenged as I thought about this in terms of preparation for today, because often it's divided loyalties. You know, on a Sunday and days of the week when it's good, maybe God's first. Then other things creep in and we start to go in other directions and we start to serve other gods, as it would be. And as a result of that, we lose out. God wants us to be in his control all the time and 100% sold out to him. And I want to share a few thoughts about that this morning, which were challenging to me, so they may be challenging to you as well in my preparation. You know, the story is told, actually, of a businessman who went on a trip and he wanted to share something with his wife when he came back to show how much he appreciated her. So on his way back, he stopped at one of the local cosmetic stalls or shops and decided he wanted to buy her a nice bottle of perfume. So the assistant brought out a nice bottle of perfume, which is valued about £50. And he said, that's a bit expensive. Can you show me something slightly cheaper than that? The next one, same bottle of perfume, smaller size, £25. And he said, still a bit expensive. So he said, okay, let's go for another one then. And she, with very much frustration, showed him one which was only worth about £10. And he went, that's still a bit expensive. Show me something really cheap. So she went to the counter and picked up a mirror and showed him the mirror. Did he really love his wife? By the way, it's not me with my wife. By the way, before I say anything else, I'm really careful how I say this. Did he really love his wife? I would say possibly not as much as he wanted to show he did. And the question is there, surely with us as well, how much do we love God? Because it says here, where is your treasure? Is your treasure on earth, or is your treasure in heaven? You see, if you love someone really very much, you may not have much money, but you want to do the best for them you possibly can. I've heard of stories in the past, and in fact, if you've read some of the things that Roger has shared with us in some of the events he's taken place in Uganda, where he's been very humbled, where people have come to him, and they provided the meal for him, and it's probably cost all they possibly could give. I know of people who've been to Romania in the past when the doors opened up there, you know, 25 odd years ago now, and they were given a meal, and the people actually held back locally. They gave their meal to the people who came there because they loved them. They loved them that much because they were prepared to go there and share something of God's love with them. And they put God first in absolutely everything. And that's quite a challenge to us, isn't it? Because we live in a more affluent society here. So what do we do in terms of our treasure? Where do we value God in compared to the things that we have materially in this world? And our sermon this morning, if you like, our talk this morning, is very much about treasure. And there's a subtitle to it that Roger had given me. How good is your investment? Somebody has said, this is the Sermon on the Mount, rather than the Sermon on the Mount. Excuse the pun about that. But it's not so much about money, is it? It's about where our heart is. Where is it? Where do we put everything? Where do we put our time, our money, our energy? Where is it? Is it towards the things of God? Is it God first and foremost, or is he somewhere down the pecking order? And I trust that as we identify some of the things today, we'll understand we should hold on to the things of this world quite lightly, not tightly. And as we do so, we might realize how much God blesses us, and we can bless other people. That's why I'm glad we're able to share about CAP today, because we want to share God's love with people, don't we? And not hold on to tightly what we've got, but show what God can do for them. In verses 19 through to 21, we read this. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. For store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You know, the things of this earth don't last very long, do they? We think they do, but they don't. And it's so often it's where we want to put our hope in those things, don't we? If you've got money, you may well have investments. I'll ask you the question, how are your investments doing? This last week or so, we wanted to do something for our grandsons. And so we went into one of the building societies, and we were shown there a particular investment we could do for one of them. And they said, you could do the same for the other one as well, because the interest you get at the moment is not that good. It could be slightly better. That's wonderful. But interest rates go up, don't they? Interest rates go down as well. We know that very much. And we've gone through quite a time recently of financial turmoil. And it's been quite difficult for quite a number of people. And yet people still seem to put their trust in earthly things, in worldly things, in money, thinking it's going to do something. But you know, it's not just money sometimes we put our trust in. We put our trust in possessions as well, isn't it? And we want to have so much stuff. Isn't it said here about moth and rust destroying? How many things in our houses get destroyed because of moths and rust? You know, it's not the clothes we wear all the time we've got to worry about, have we? It's the clothes we don't always wear. We need to store them away. When we bring them out, all of a sudden, oh, there's a hole in this, and a moth got at it. So we need to protect it, don't we? And we get so much stuff that we seem to have. We seem to accumulate. I heard a story said, actually, that sometimes we need two houses, one for ourselves and one for our stuff. Actually, that's quite challenging, isn't it? Do we need all that stuff? Because actually what tends to happen is the stuff owns us rather than we own the stuff. I can remember very vividly my mother. And my mother was a hoarder, to say the least. And she would hoard wherever she was. When my mother died, it was an absolute nightmare. My wife's probably nodding her head now. To go through everything and to sort it all out. Why? Because it might be useful one day. It never was. It was never useful one day. But we hoard all these things, don't we? I have the privilege of having a small involvement with TWAM. And it's great to see some of the things coming into TWAM. Some things are new or fairly unused. Some things are fairly well used. The stuff that's well used gets refurbished and can be used in other parts of the world, and the new stuff can be packed up and sent away. But just another example, if you like, of how much stuff we seem to accumulate, because it's spare. It's no longer required by somebody. They've either got a new one, or maybe it's for somebody who's passed away, and therefore they're getting rid of some of the estate, if you like, that's been left behind. But the trouble is, we put so much store in our stuff. You see, I said those things can be used abroad. Not everything can be. Some is pure junk, to be honest. You may get something for it through a junk dealer, but that's all. It's not worth anything. And yet, as I talk about these various, if you like, illustrations, it makes you think about the junk in my life. The stuff that I store in my life. That I put first in my life. I realize, actually, it's of no eternal value at all. It's pretty worthless, to be honest. Because at the end of the day, I'm going to replace it, renew it, or it's going to be actually thrown away because we have no use whatsoever. You see, worldly wealth is not for storage, is it? It's meant to be used. You see, we're stewards here, aren't we? We're here for a time. On Friday, I had the sad duty of going to a funeral. It was the funeral of the godmother of my son-in-law. And one of the things that was mentioned about her, she'd accumulated a huge amount of things over the years in terms of ornaments. Worth quite a lot of money, actually. But she's in eternity now. Those things are still in her home. Or was her home. They're of no value to her now, are they? What's of value to us now is whether we have a relationship with God. And how deep is that relationship with God? How much is the heart involved in our relationship with God, or is it just in our head? You see, sometimes the things of this earth grab us. They hold on to us, and they become our treasure. And we do absolutely anything to gain that one particular thing, that one new thing that's important. Isn't it interesting of how often when something new comes out in technology, you've got queues around the door to go and buy it. Sorry, Will. You've got queues around the door to go and buy the various pizza kit, or whatever it might be. Whether they go to the Will store or not, I don't know. I don't know about that. But in 6 months' time, there's another queue, isn't there? Because it's old hat. It's no longer up to date, as you want to have the new thing. See, it doesn't last, does it? But the things of God last forever. The things of God last for eternity. And he wants us to set our hearts on those things. He wants to set our hearts and our compass in that direction. In the film, The Pirates of the Caribbean, Captain Jack Sparrow, Johnny Depp, has this compass. It's not like an ordinary compass. Most compass face north. This one doesn't. This particular compass is one which points to what you want the most. So it could be treasure, it could be a person, or it could be a location. But it only ever works if you know what you want. Captain Jack Sparrow never knew what he wants, never knows what he wants. And so he's always spinning around. It's never quite right. So on this one occasion, the second film, it's when he's trying to find the still beating heart of Davy Jones, which happens to be in a locker. I guess in New Minas, I suppose, to where the treasure is, your heart there is also. But Jack can't find the heading from his compass. And so he gets Elizabeth, comes alongside him, who's got a true love. And he says to her, "You tell us the direction to go." She had a direction to go. She had a true love. And he pointed in the way to go. Where's our compass in our lives? Is it pointing us in the way towards God, to the things that please him, to the things that honour him and put him first? Our needle could be spinning around, could it? Or is it focused? Is it focused really on Jesus? You see, there's a little chorus sometimes we sing. We don't sing it very often these days. When you turn your eyes upon Jesus and look full in his wonderful face, the things of earth grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. That's where the compass is to be focused, isn't it? The compass is to be focused towards him and towards the things of God. You see, when we do that, that's where our heart is focused in the right place. For if our treasure is on earth, it's going to perish. Jesus says this in John 6, verse 27, "Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of God will give you. Work for that which endures to eternal life." I like watching the Antiques Roadshow. And when I watch that, it's interesting to see some of the people. And they come on there and they're hoping that their particular object is worth some value. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes they're blown away. But in the past, it's been used for everyday objects. Maybe up on the wall, people look at it, there's a picture, maybe they've used this as a piece of porcelain or whatever it is, and all of a sudden they're told, "Ah, this is worth a lot of the money." What happens then? They put it to one side. They put the insurance up to cover it. They don't sell it, they don't get rid of it, and their treasure gets focused towards that. Jesus says we are to look for a pearl of great price. Not keep it to ourselves, but buy all we have to get it. When we get it, we know the kingdom of God in our lives. For the pearl of great price is him. It's having him in the center of our lives. Him being first and foremost in everything. That affects what we receive and also what we give as well. You know, it's great when we talk about giving, isn't it? And people say it's great to give, and yes, we do give. But do we give all we can, or do we hold things back and give just a little bit that's there? There's a story told of a missionary. And a missionary went to a new convert. His name was Pablo, the convert. And he asked Pablo this question. Pablo, if you had 100 sheep, would you give 50 of them to the Lord's work? The response was quite easy. I'd gladly do that. So he went back to him. He said, Pablo, if you had 50 cows, would you give 25 to the Lord's work? Yes, of course I would. No problem. No problem whatsoever with that. So the missionary then came to him and said, if you had 2 pigs, would you give 1 of the pigs to the Lord? And Pablo said, that's not fair. You know I've got 2 pigs. Do you get the moral of the story? I do. How much do I hold back? And how much do I give? How much do I truly love God? I love him with my lips, or do I love him with my heart? Do I put him first in everything? Now, please don't get me wrong. I'm not saying we shouldn't earn a living. The scriptures are very clear about that. We are to work. We are told very clearly in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 14, that after all, children should not save up for their parents, but parents for their children. In 1 Timothy 5, verse 8, we read this. If anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. And Ephesians 4, verse 28 says this. We are to work so we have something to share with those in need. Working is right. It's good and it's biblical. It's right to do that. But what is the object of our work? Who are we serving? We are told, aren't we, there is nothing as secular and sacred. Although people want to try and do that. For everything is secular in some people's eyes, and everything is sacred in other people's eyes. As believers, everything should be sacred. Because we do everything as unto the Lord. We work unto the Lord. We live unto the Lord. We do everything as it should be. Under his guidance, under his control. So where's our loyalty? And here's when it comes to the rub. Where's our loyalty there? Where is my heart? And where is your heart? Is it towards these things I've been sharing with, which are the things of this earth? Are there those things that are there? They're not going to be with us in the future when we go into eternity. Or are we really centering everything upon our Lord Jesus Christ? You see, if we are truly loyal to the Lord Jesus, then whatever we have here, we'll hold very lightly indeed. We'll recognize that we're just stewards of it all. We're holding it for a time. And we're using it for the best personal purposes. To see the kingdom of God come. See the kingdom of God reign in our own lives and in the lives of our church and the lives of our nation. As we serve him in the correct way. But Jesus goes on from talking about where the heart is to looking at the eye. Because often our eyes are focused on our treasure. And in verses 22 and 23 he says this, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Jesus is not changing things here, by the way. I'm just trying to explain this a little bit. He's going a bit further to say where the heart really lies. He's not changing direction. Because a good eye doesn't just see what's around us. 20/20 vision doesn't just do that. It's more than that. A good eye also, in terms of scripture, means an eye of generosity, of giving, of good. Whereas an evil eye is the opposite of that. It's a Semitic metaphor, if you like. It's a Semitic metaphor for greediness and for a grudging spirit. Giving grudgingly, not willingly. And the context here, we've got that we should be generous. We should be generous with what God gives to us. Back to that story I told you were on about the 2 pigs. How generous are we? Are we prepared to share what we have? Now, when I say that, I'm not just talking, I was just talking about time, I talked about possessions, and I talked about money. What about time? What about giving our time? You see, we're talking about where thieves break in and steal. The greatest theft you can ever find is people taking our time. And things taking our time away from the things of God. Mark and I were reading in our quiet time this morning quite a salient thing regarding what I want to share. And that was about a couple who had taken their children down to the Midwest of America so many years ago now to visit grandparents. And the TV reception in the Midwest of America wasn't very good at the time. And unlike today, there was only one channel. And the little boy put the TV on, couldn't get reception very well, and said, well, what do you do when you watch something on the TV? There's only one channel and you don't like it. So the father said, turn it off. And I thought, yes. How often do our times get taken up by things which maybe seem legitimate, but actually take us away from focusing upon God? Looking upon Him. Thinking about what He's done for me. Reading the scriptures. Praying. Spending time with other believers. Get it into the grips with the things of God. Letting the Holy Spirit work in our hearts and work in our lives to refine us, to reform us, to transform us. So it was what we're meant to be. The children of God. Been the eyes, hands, mouth and ears and feet of Jesus today, as Jonathan shared with us just last week. You see, where are our eyes today? Where are they fixed? The same as our heart. Where is our heart? Is it truly fixed upon Jesus? I want to say why it should be fixed upon Him. You're a sinner. And I'm a sinner. So is the whole world a sinner. We're subject to the wrath of God. But God loved me so much. He loved you so much. He sent His only Son into the world to die for you upon a cross. He gave the very best of heaven for you and the very best of heaven for me. Shouldn't we love Him as a result? Shouldn't we? Shouldn't we? Yes, I hope so. We should love Him, shouldn't we? He's done all of that for us. So let's fix our eyes in the right place, not in the wrong place. I'm not saying other things are wrong in themselves, but it becomes the focus of our attention rather than the focus of what it should be. So we have a real loyalty. In verse 24, we say this. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. I actually prefer, the old authorized version, God and mammon. Because money tends to think about just money. Mammon talks about wider things than that. It talks about all of our possessions. And in fact, the word mammon actually has a root which says this, that in which one trusts. That's what mammon means. That in which one trusts. So do you trust in mammon then, the things of this world, or do we trust in God and what God has done and will continue to do for us? You see, you can't serve God and trust someone else, can you? You can only trust God and follow Him. As we follow Him, it's amazing what He leads us into and the direction He takes us. You see, if you follow a man, however good that man might be, you're going to get disappointed at some point. So don't follow me. Don't follow Roger or Jonathan or John, or anybody else, follow Jesus. Although Paul could say, we read last week, whatever you have seen in me, put it into practice, he recognized what he said he'd seen in me is what Jesus has done in me and is doing through me. Put that into practice. You see, we're not to have a divided loyalty, are we? Now, I have to say, sometimes there's a divided loyalty in our hearts, isn't there? Certainly in my own heart. There should be no divided loyalty. It's looking at God and putting Him first all the time. So going back to verse 20, it's laying up treasure in heaven. What is laying up treasure in heaven then? What truly is laying up treasure in heaven? Because there, it won't perish. Moth won't get at it. Rust won't destroy it. And nothing will steal it. It's these things I believe. First of all, it's holiness. Holiness is something we could take into heaven, can't we? Because as holy people, we're resembling our God. We're resembling our Savior. We're walking in with Him day by day. The other thing we can take with us is our obedience as well. That when He calls us to do something, we do it. Kathy and Richard shared about CAP earlier on. They had a call upon their lives to do something in the work of CAP. They're being obedient. That's something that can be taken into eternity. Following God, being obedient to Him, not just for them, but for others as well. There's a heart of service as well. Putting ourselves out as it would be, when maybe we don't want to put ourselves out. And I have to say, I find that difficult on occasions. Not wanted to do something when I know I should do it. But God says, that's something you can take into eternity, a heart of service. A generous spirit we could take into eternity as well, where we've been generous to other people, where we've shown and shared the love of God that's been shed abroad in our own hearts. We could take those into the eternal kingdom, can't we? We could take our faith into the eternal kingdom as well. We can also take souls with us as too, if we win souls for Christ, can't we? We can take those into the kingdom of God. Those are things that do not perish. Those are the things that rust won't get at, where the moths won't destroy, and nothing will take it away. And those are things God are pleased with. Being obedient. Being holy. Letting the fruit of the Spirit really dwell in our own hearts as it would be, and really shine out the love, the joy, the peace, and all the other aspects that are there. Unfortunately, sometimes we are prepared to opt for something a bit less than that, aren't we? Let's go for something grand. Let's do those things that bring him honour. You see, I believe God wants to win Penarth for him. And if that's going to happen, then we need to change, don't we? We need to be transformed. We need to have no divided loyalty, but whole loyalty towards Jesus and to the things of himself. And when that happens, this earthly treasure drifts away. Let me read the words to you of Colossians 3, verses 1 to 10. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died. And your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now, you must rid yourselves of all such things as these, anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you've taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which has been renewed in knowledge, in the image of its creator. Rather than focus on the things of this earth, which suck our strength and tear our energy, and take it away, set our minds and our hearts on heavenly things, on the things above, where moth and rust will not destroy, and thieves will not break in and steal. If you like, more positively in Philippians 4, which we read to us last Sunday evening. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, things excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, this is Paul speaking, but he's saying about his relationship with Jesus, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. If we put him first, it's amazing how the God of peace comes to us. And we know the peace of God in every aspect of our lives. We've got brothers and sisters today who are being martyred for their faith in various parts of the world, particularly in the Middle East. Where's their treasure? In Jesus. And it's kept for them. We may not go through that vehicle ourselves, but trust we won't, and that type of persecution. But where's our treasure this morning? Are we thinking on the right things, the things that are positive? Are we because of that desire to just have Jesus in every area of our lives, the things that are admirable, the things that will not perish in eternity? You see, God gives and God takes away. If our treasure is in heaven, it's permanently there. And we needn't worry about it. As I come to a conclusion, I'm going to quote from a film, Gladiator. General Maximus in that film is trying to inspire his troops to give their best in the battle against Germania. As he addressed them, he uses these words: what we do in life echoes in eternity. What about you and me? What do we do in life that will echo in eternity? How good is your investment? How good is my investment? Where your treasure is, there our hearts will be also. May it be rooted and grounded in Jesus. That as a result, he'll get the honor and the glory. His kingdom will come, and we'll see a blessing too. So may the Lord bless us. May the Lord keep us. The Lord make his face to shine upon us, and may the Lord be gracious to us. May the Lord turn his face towards us. May the Lord give us peace now and forevermore. Let's bless one another with the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.